G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 5A.
Well, suffer with me another hour, and then the ordeal of science as new science will be over, and tomorrow then we will tread on more familiar ground with me when we consider the relationship of new science with Christian science. So, just another hour, and then the ordeal will be over. We were just discussing system when viewed really from a holistic point of view. Another criteria of the new science is structure and structuralism versus atomism. Now, we were saying that the new criteria is structure, structuralism versus reductionism. Now, versus atomism. So, what is involved here? We have seen first what is the definition of science, of system. Now, what is the difference between a system and a structure? A system is much more fundamental than a structure. A system gives us the fundamental categories and the way these categories are related by law. Whereas structure is the, so to say, playing with the system. That's a very rough definition, which means that you take the system and you look at that system from various angles. You put the accent on various parts of the system, and therefore accentuate just one part, but without losing the whole view of the whole. Now, I can show you that, first of all, with that symbol of, say, the kaleidoscope, which we already have taken. The kaleidoscope is a system insofar that it contains all the necessary categories, namely the mirrors in it, then the pieces that are in it, can be pieces of glass of various forms of shapes and color. So you have the two categories, namely the mirrors and the pieces of, say, glass, and those together are constituting the kaleidoscope. But you know that if you shake it, if you bring movement into it, that every time you see a new pattern, a new structure. So the system remains the same. We don't add anything except the shaking of it. That is, that we alter the relationships. And the moment we alter the relationships, we get a new pattern. That's a structure. Or if we take another symbol, say we have a globe, and that globe symbolizes the whole of the earth. But if we begin to move the globe and give it a little push, or if we walk around the globe, we always see that globe in a different way. It's always the whole, and yet the picture we get of that globe is always different. Can you see? So this may be an indication between the difference of a system and a structure, that the structure is always accentuating a part of the system and looks at the whole from the angle of that part. Then we see constantly a new structure. So this is again showing that we never lose the whole. We always have the whole, and yet the whole is always different. That's a very big thing. See, that simple reasoning says if you have a whole, then it's always the same. It isn't. The whole is always the same whole, but it looks always different the moment we restructure the system. Therefore, the moment we put, say, movement into the system, we get a new structure. So let me just compare the two definitions of structure and system, then you perhaps sense it a little bit. But tomorrow and on the rest of the week, we'll talk a lot about system and structure and restructuring on a ground which you understand better with Christian Science. But I want to lay the foundation, the basic foundations for what we are doing this week. If we take the definition of system, it says that the system are categories related by law to form an integral whole. So you see, it's categories related by law, and that together makes a whole. So we don't leave holism. But the structure is a little bit different. It says that structure is the interrelationship of parts. See, it accentuates the parts of the whole, reflecting the general character of the whole. So we see parts always as reflecting the whole. So if we look at the globe from the north side, we only say, well, that whole globe or that whole earth consists only of snow and ice, because we only look from the North Pole or from the South Pole, and then we conclude from that angle that the whole earth is only ice, because we only accentuate one aspect of the whole. And so we can see that if we look from another part, we say, well, say we look from the part of the Pacific, and we say, well, it seems that the whole globe is just water. Or if we look it from the point of view of Asia, we may say, well, mostly of the earth is just water, is just earth. So in this way, we can see something always in a different way without that the whole is lost in any way. Nothing is being lost about it. So that makes really being very colorful. That being is not boring, like some people think that heaven may be boring. It is always the same. There are always angels playing the harp and always the same songs. That could be very boring. Being is not so boring because it's always new, and can see that the moment we understand the laws of restructuring, that then something repeats itself. It's always new, and yet it's always the whole. That we must never forget. It's not like looking at isolated phenomena from one to the next, to another phenomena, to another phenomena, to another phenomena, infinite phenomena. That's something very different. You look always as at isolated parts, never as at the whole. But through a structural consciousness, through structuralism, we never lose the whole out of sight. Being is one, but that being can always be seen in a new way, without that we lose the whole. So that is the holistic sense. Whereas in the old sense, you had the counterfeit of structuralism, which is called atomism, where only you see parts, and you are interested in parts, and are interested in analyzing parts. This whole question of structuralism and the next subject of dimensionalism, I will deal with it towards the end of this week, over a few hours, so you can be very at ease that this subject will be dealt with slowly and in a way that it really enjoys your heart. The next, yes, it will. The next criteria that holistic science must have is dimensionalism. That we must see the one and the whole in various dimensions. And that being is multidimensional. We can't say it's just one being and therefore it has only one dimension. It has really, the one is always the many. That's the great secret, that the one is always the many, just as the one system is always the many structures. And so also in regard to dimensions, the one has many dimensions, it's multidimensional. What does dimensionalism mean? I give a very short definition that can make it plain. Dimensionalism is showing that one identity appears different from different standpoints without losing its original identity. That's very interesting. The old scientists would never have accepted that. For the old science, an identity is an identity, and only those things that are absolutely identical, outwardly identical, have the same identity. The moment the appearance, the phenomena, changes and is no more the same as another phenomena, we say they are not identical. That we always were thinking. And that it was always wrong. We can't help to come to a point where we begin to see that our way of thinking from the old science is to a great extent unscientific and wrong. And so that we have to correct our point of view. Why? And we'll see that when I talk about dimensionalism about for 2 or 3 hours at the end of this week. I promise and promise and promise that I have to do so in order that you don't get tired of it and you still follow me. It means, you see, that one begins to see in dimensionalism that something that has an identity can appear, I say appear, in many different ways, in many different phenomena that have no apparent similarity, no apparent similarity, and still remain the same. That's something we are never thinking of. It's only really since the 60s or so, 1960, towards the end of 1960, especially when Arthur Koestler made that symposium in Alpbach, where he gathered the forward thinkers of that time, like Bertel Landfi, who had just before published his books on the general system theory, and people like him, and they began to see that we must regard reality as multidimensional. And multidimensional means that an identity can appear in many different ways, in many different forms of appearance. And we'll see that, and you know that, so those who have followed us over the last few years know what I'm talking about. Think of that half cylinder that appears on lower levels in a different way as a half a circle or as a square or as a rectangular, that all those different phenomena have all the same value. They have the same identity, though they appear different. And only in this way we can see that we still can simplify more and more our way of looking at reality. That reality, suddenly we begin to see that if we put our dimensional consciousness into play, that suddenly many things that seem to be different are actually the same. And so it reduces again the multitudinous phenomena to fewer identities. That's a big thing. That's a great sense that we must see. If we don't see that, we will never understand the Christian Science textbook. We'll always find in the Christian Science textbook great divergences, great, what you call, Widersprüchlichkeit, controversies, that the statements are contradiction, thank you, that they are contradictory because they say, they make contradictory statements, but the textbook is one science and a holistic science, and if we understand something about dimensionalism, we will see that these statements do not contradict each other, though apparently they say something very different. But the moment we look at them through a dimensional consciousness, we can see behind these various phenomena the same noumenon, the same identity, which simplifies again our concept of science. See, perhaps during this day you felt, gosh, it gets more and more difficult and more complex. That's how the human mind reacts. But the fact will be that at the end of this week, I hope you will see that I have made everything simpler, more transparent, more understandable. So we just have to be patient with ourselves and see that in that viewing reality, we must see that one identity can appear in many, many ways of phenomena, in different phenomena, and still remain the same identity. That's the beauty of it. And that is a key for practice, as we will see. That if we don't understand this dimensional sense, we misinterpret the symptoms of a disease or a problem. We misinterpret it. Because we only look at the phenomena and not at the identity that lies behind the phenomena. And so we make wrong conclusions from the phenomena to its underlying identity. So another aspect of dimensionalism, or putting it in other words, we can see that the oneness of being, or the whole, is a multidimensional wholeness, not a one-dimensional wholeness. It's a multidimensional wholeness. According to the point of view we look at it, just think of the globe, we see that wholeness on different levels of reality, and therefore the phenomena changes. So there is, in that holistic science, a law of general translatability from one dimension to other dimensions, up and down, translating it from a higher dimension down to lower dimension, translating lower dimension up to higher dimensions, but still remaining the whole. We can't change the identity of the whole, though it appears then as different phenomena. Which leads to another important point, which we have to see, or else we don't understand the textbook either, that these dimensions form a hierarchy, that there is a hierarchy of dimension, a dimensional hierarchy, so that we can see that in that hierarchy, one dimension follows the next dimension, and that there is order in that hierarchy, either in the hierarchy of going up the ladder or coming down the ladder. There is a hierarchy where we can see that we cannot sidestep one step of that hierarchy, or else we take one aspect out of the whole. And then we break up the whole, which is very important to see when one wants to read the textbook intelligently, because sometimes in one paragraph, Mrs. Eddy would present the subject on various levels of this hierarchy, that perhaps she will present something first from the point of view of the highest, then the second highest, and the third highest, and then the fourth highest hierarchy. And so only when one sees this, then these sentences do not contradict each other, but complement each other, give a roundabout sense so that we can look at reality from every angle of where we are humanly. So that if we have an understanding of the beginner, we can see the textbook rightly. If we have a higher understanding, we can see in the same textbook something else, something higher, and so on, and rising higher and higher. So there is a great hierarchy. You know, that seems again very strange, perhaps. But I give you an example that makes it already quite much easier. Actually, I have to take an example right away now from physical science or from the physical material world, because I said we only want to touch on the better, or the Christian Science side later on. For instance, we know that the whole universe, material universe, consists of atoms and electrons. Whatever then they are defined as quantums or as field of energies or whatever, the smallest building block roughly are the atoms with the electrons. Now, the whole Earth consists of them, but is then the whole just an agglomeration, an accumulation of these atoms? I would say, yes, fundamentally everything consists of atoms. If I take a human body, it consists of atoms. If I take a rock, it consists of atoms. If I take a flower, it consists of atoms. It's always atoms. But is that world that we look at a one-dimensional world of atoms? And it isn't. Because if we put atom upon atom upon atom upon atom, we come to a point where we can't do that anymore. The nuclear scientists will tell us that you can only do it, I think, 200 atoms in the most. I'm not quite sure, but a small number. And it comes to a point where you can't add any more an atom to it, because you begin to change the structure. You begin suddenly to have a molecule. Suddenly you have a different structure, a different level. And these atoms make up a molecule. Again, can you build up molecule on molecule? Because the whole body is built up of molecules. Every plant, every tree is built up of molecules. Can you build up and build up just molecules on molecules? You can't. There comes a time, I think it's about 1 million or 2 million, where at the utmost you can do that, and then there is a stop. There is an optimum that has been reached, and you get a cell. You can't put cell upon cells infinitely. After a while, those cells form an organ, something else. See, another level, another dimension. If we have an organ, we can't put organ upon organ upon organ. We know that from our body, that our body is an agglomeration, is a compound of a number of organs, but not of an infinite number of organs. We don't have 100 kidneys and 200 bowels and 1,000 eyes and so on. See, it comes to another structure, to a body. And that's something very different. And yet, fundamentally, they're atoms. But because it is multidimensional, that multidimensional being has a hierarchy of levels. The hierarchy of atoms or electrons and atoms and molecules and cells and organs and bodies. You can go further. You can put body and body together until you get the quarrel and the war, and they separate, and then you have two nations. And so they build up nations upon nation until they get the quarrel, and you have perhaps continents against continent. And so on and on until you have the whole cosmos, all built on the atoms. But there is a structure on each level which we cannot overstep. There is always an optimum. And so we will. This is the meaning of dimensionalism, that every investigation must be looked at through a dimensional sense, because every dimension, now comes the interesting point, always has a different structure. Every dimension has a different structure. And as it has a different structure, it has different laws ruling. The laws of the atoms are different than the laws of a molecule. The laws of a cell are different than the laws of a molecule. The laws of an organ is different than the laws of the cells. Can you see? The laws of the body are different than the laws of an atom. They're always different. So we get the whole hierarchy, not only of structures upon structure, but also a hierarchy of laws, laws upon laws. And you can at once make a little side note and say, yes, that chart has four levels, and every level has a different structure, and every level has different laws of being. Can you see that? So that it would be wrong, you see, it is against reductionism, it is against that sense that something can only be that something and nothing else but that something. That something can be many things which are very different. But we must know the laws regulating the law of translatability from one dimension to the next dimension, and see that they form a hierarchy, but that in that hierarchy you have a oneness, therefore laws of interdependence between the levels and dimensions, so that they still are always the whole and never are split up into parts. Yes.